The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
We are on to week six. That's right, week six is upon us. Field Yates and Matthew Berry hanging out with you. We've got plenty of news to get to, including a litany of injuries for the New York Giants. But we haven't quite closed the books on week six, as we will talk about the 49ers thrashing of the Cleveland Browns last night. But Matthew, I wanted to give you a chance. I wanted to give you an opportunity to think, to stew, to marinate, to consider and compartmentalize and discover what you really felt when news broke early Monday morning, like real early, that Jay Gruden was out as the Redskins head coach. State of the Matthew Berry Union. How are you feeling this morning? What are you thinking some 30 hours later?
You know what? I'm bummed. I'm honestly bummed.
Okay.
Right? I think Jay Gruden got a raw deal, to be perfectly honest. Like, I get it. The team's 0-5. I don't think that's on Jay Gruden. I would put that at the feet. Now, has Jay Gruden made some mistakes? 100%. Right? And listen, their defense has massively underperformed this year. And that's ultimately on Jay, right? I mean, Jay hired, you know, the defensive coordinator. Like, he doesn't have anything to do with the defense, really. Like, he calls the plays in terms of how the division goes on that team. But ultimately, that's his call, I guess, on some level, you would think. And so, you know, ultimately, that's on him. But, I mean, you think about Gruden here, who last year, and you're going to think I'm crazy for this, but I actually thought Jay Gruden should have gotten Coach of the Year votes last year.
He went maybe votes. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, though.
He went 7-9 with four different quarterbacks and over 25 players on injured reserve. He played a game against the Titans late in the season last year. I think it was Week 16 that had playoff implications. He had to start a game against the Tennessee Titans with Josh Johnson, first round pick of the defunct AAF that was sitting on his couch 3 weeks earlier. Like, he had to start a game with that guy. And honestly, had it not been for a ticky-tack baloney pass interference call on fourth down that allowed Blaine Gabbert to keep that drive alive, they would have won that game. And so my point is that he had them on the cusp of a playoff game, you know, with a patchwork team. And so now he comes in and the general manager is, you know, whether you think Trent Williams is right or whether you think the Redskins are right, the fact of the matter is you've got one of the best players on your team, one of the best players in the NFL, not reporting. And it's not a contract dispute. I mean, there maybe money's at the heart of it, but at the end of it, like, Trent Williams doesn't want to play for the Redskins. Bruce Allen sits here and talks about the culture. The culture is a guy doesn't want to play. Guy's one of the highest paid left tackles in the game and doesn't want to collect that check because the culture is so good. And so you think about that, right? And you think about, like, what are you doing? What, you're firing Jay Gruden. Why? To try to beat Miami? Who cares? We're not going to the playoffs. Like, so what? Let's lose to Miami. Let's tank for Tua. Are you kidding me? Like, cause I promise you, if we have the number one pick, if the Redskins have the number one pick, there'll be people interested in that. That has value. That has a lot of value this year. And if they're sitting here and saying Dwayne Haskins isn't ready, and I don't know, like, I was excited when they drafted Dwayne Haskins. I'm not going to sit here and dump on Dwayne Haskins. But if they're saying he's not ready, then that is a mistake of scouting. That is to pick somebody in the top 15 picks and say that they don't think he's ready for an NFL game when you sit there and you see Kyler Murray out there doing what he's doing, when you see Gardner Minshew out there doing what he's doing, when you see what Daniel Jones is doing. Like, a rookie quarterback drafted in the first round should be reasonably ready. And I don't know if he is or not. I have no idea. But I get Jay Gruden not wanting to put him out there behind a patchwork offensive line with devoid of talent. Like, the craziest thing to me, Field, was yesterday's press conference when Bruce Allen said, you know, we have the pieces for winning franchise around here, whatever.
I like that part, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, what pieces? What pieces? Like, explain to me what Case Keenum is a piece. Like, what pieces? Someone explain to me what pieces we have. Like, there's some nice pieces on defense. There's also, I mean, like, it's unbelievable. It's like, And you sit there and you look at the contract situation, they're going to be so over the cap. Like, this is a team that should be good when you think about the money they've spent. But they've had to spend that money because, hey, the only way we could convince Landon Collins to come here is if we massively overpay him. Like, that's how bad the culture is. If you want to play 16 away games, because that's what the Redskins do. They play 16 away games.
Like, I like that comment about how people that are Redskins fans sold their tickets to make some money on Sunday.
I don't blame them. It's not a product worth watching. It's not a product worth watching. I completely get that. I sit here and talk about the fact that how Bengals fans know that the Bengals always bone you. And I apologize to the franchise of Cincinnati because no one's been boned more than Redskins fans the last 20 years. No one. Give me a fan base that's been boned more than us. At least the Dolphins have a direction.
No, the Browns.
At least the Browns have a direction.
What direction is that?
They got killed last night. I get it.
Yeah, they stink.
Yes, they stink. But you know what? I would, if I could play fantasy football for a second, I would trade the entire roster of the Browns for the entire roster of the Redskins right now.
You know what? I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I'm sorry to throw salt in the wounds. Are you done or no?
It's fine. I'm done.
No, I want to make sure you're done before I cut you off.
No, it's
fine. I think here's one point.
The last thing I will say, this is the last thing I will say, and then we can talk about this, right? Bruce Allen's 39% win percentage since he took over in 2010. Is the fifth worst in the NFL over that stretch. All the three other NFC East teams have a winning percentage of over 500.
Mm-hmm.
He's 39%.
Right.
They're at 515, the other three combined. He's never won a playoff game. Bruce Allen's only been three times, but he's 0-3 in the playoffs. He's allowed the second most, his teams have allowed the second most yards per play and the third worst scoring defense in the last decade.
They stink. So
he's awful. And so everyone always wants to dump on Snyder, and I get that. I understand
that it starts with him, the buck ends with him
and everything like that. But I honestly think that while if Dan Snyder were sitting here and being honest, he would say there are moves that he has made that he regrets. There are things that he has done which he understands why the public's upset. My guess is I've met Dan Snyder once, and it was very brief. So I wouldn't say I know the man at all. But I would say that from what I know of people who know him, the guy wants to win desperately and is willing to spend money to win desperately. His problem is that he has been bamboozled. He has been swindled. He has been mesmerized by Bruce Allen and people that don't know what they're doing. And that is the problem. That is the problem is that he has put his trust in the wrong people. And that includes Bruce Allen. And I'm just, and it's like, and people are like, oh, you know what? Here's the last thing I'll say.
Okay.
People sit here and crap on fantasy football, and they're like, oh, fantasy football. You know what it does? It ruins the real game. It ruins the real game because you root for your fake players. You don't root for a real team. It's not real football. You know what? I would much rather root for a collection of players that I drafted than Bruce Allen did.
Let's get to the news with that.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
That was really well said.
I appreciate that. Listen, I've been a Redskins fan since I was 5 years old. I have four decades of fandom in this. Like, this does not come obviously easy for me to say, and I'm still going to root for them here's the thing. I'm rooting for the Dolphins to win. I want us to lose.
Of course you do.
I would love the Redskins to go 0-16.
So I have very succinct thoughts.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I was having this conversation yesterday. I think they're 32 of 32 in terms of franchises and direction and overall competence right now.
100%.
There are two things that fans crave in sports. Trust or hope.
Yes.
Right? So last year, Patriots go 2-2. There's trust out of the gates. Hey, it's the Patriots. They get things right. Right? They win the Super Bowl. Or you want to have hope. Hey, we're 0-4 right now, Miami Dolphins, but at least we are hopeful that the Steelers keep losing. We get the first overall pick in the draft. The Texans stumble. We have all three of their picks, the first round picks. You want to have trust. You want to have hope. It's clear nobody outside of the organization trusts the front office right now, specifically Bruce Allen. And where's the hope? And I'm sorry to throw salt in the wounds, but that to me is sort of the succinct way of describing it.
There's no That is so true, and I was thinking about this on the way. What's the Which one is the Batman? Which Batman movie is this that where it's Kane is the bad guy?
This is more your wheelhouse than mine.
I know. It's
Batman Begins. Not Batman Begins, but whatever.
One of the Batmans, right? They're in the cave. You know, and he's just like, they were born of the cave. And like, you know, he just talks about the fact that how, you know, hope is like, you know, Dark Knight Rises. Thank you, Jackson. You get on the phone, like, you can get on the microphone there. There's Jackson. Secret Squirrel's not in today. So we've got Jackson. He's backup squirrel. So it's the Dark Knight Rises, right?
Dark Knight Rises. Bane breaks his back, gives the whole speech about hope, darkness, molded by it, born by it.
Yeah. Give the exact quote, because I know I don't have it exactly.
So he says that Batman, you know, was simply adopted the darkness. Bane was born inside it, molded by it, and created by it.
That's right.
Well done, Jackson.
And when they're in the cave, like he was talking about, like he puts Batman in the cave or whatever it is, the big hole, and there's something about hope, like that, because you can actually. Like you can sort of climb your way out, but it's impossible. It's almost impossible.
It's like a tease. It's like you can see the way out, but you can't quite all the way get there because you can't make that last jump because he keeps trying to make that jump
right
in that cave, and you know everybody's.
But there's
chanting,
a great
rise.
Quote that that Kane has about
okay,
hope.
We don't have the quote, so anyways, right. We'll either figure that quote out
Kyle,
or we'll just leave it for another day.
But anyway, but here's what I'm. But the whole point is that I would argue that 31 franchises in the NFL have some form of hope, and I get it. It was tough for Cleveland Browns fans last night. I get that.
But
you sit there and you like, we have Odell Beckham Jr. We have Baker Mayfield. We have Myles Garrett. We have some pieces there, and they haven't all come together. But it's too soon to throw in the towel on Baker Mayfield. It's too soon to throw in the towel. Like, there's some hope.
They could win the freaking division this
year. They could
it's
still
so
win
bad.
The freaking division.
Yes. Okay, so let's get to the news,
there's
Matthew.
There's no hope. Is there a franchise that has less hope than the Redskins?
I said they're 32 of 32. Let's get to the news.
At least the
here.
Dolphins have a direction. At least they have draft picks next year.
They have hope and a direction.
They have hope. They have direction.
It's going down in order to get back up. Let's begin with some news, and then we'll recap the game. But let's begin with the Giants, who have all sorts of injuries right now, Matthew. Jordan Ronan reported this morning they are unlikely to have Saquon Barkley on Thursday night against the Patriots. He's also reported that Sterling Shepard could miss quite some time because of a second concussion. Adam Schefter reported about 60 seconds before he went on the air that Evan Ingram has a real chance to miss the game on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're... Oh, Wayne Gallman, by the way.
Yeah.
He's unlikely to play on Thursday because he is in the concussion protocol.
And yet that team still has more hope than the Washington Redskins.
You know what? They kind of do. So, in any
Danny Dimes, baby. Golden Tate.
Yeah.
How many targets can Golden Tate get?
That's the question. So I guess the question would be on Waiver Wire Tuesday whether anybody that stands to reason as a pickup. Now, we can talk about non-Giants options later on in the show.
Sure,
but is there anybody on this offense, anybody whatsoever, that you would trust in any way, shape, or form against the Patriots on Thursday night?
Trust is a strong word.
I know, but
in terms of on waiver, am I putting in a claim for Darius Slayton? I think I am.
Okay.
So Darius Slayton, 6'1" rookie out of Auburn, right? They like this kid
fly.
A lot. He can, exactly, at least... you know, Slayton at least five targets in two or three games so far this year.
Yep.
16.4 air yards per target so far. Like, it's all small sample size here, but it's all we're dealing with, right?
You sure.
know, you're, you know, a third string rookie who's, you know, in short of a season. But listen, he's had 9 catches this year. 3 of them have gone for over 20 yards. Like, there is big play there with Darius Slayton. They like him a lot. He's available in 99% of ESPN leagues. And so, look, maybe there's some junk time against the Patriots. You don't love it on a short week against the best defense in the NFL. But after that, gets Arizona.
Right.
And the expectation is, and it's always tough, and if Stefania were here, she would, don't tell Stefania I said this, okay? Everyone mums the word, right? Well, I'll keep this, but.
No one says a word.
All right, yeah. Good. Because the truth is, as Stefania always says, and I want her to know that I listen to her, but the truth is, Stefania always says, concussions are nonlinear injuries, right?
Right.
And we
yeah.
just,
I've heard
we,
that
we, right, and we just don't know. You know, to the extent of how bad this is, obviously, but the expectation is that this is his second concussion so far this year, and this feels like a multi-week absence for Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, I feel the same on that. So with each of these players, the only one that I think we feel like at this time is unlikely to play in week 7, which is a whole week ahead, is Sterling Shepard. It sounds
right.
like Saquon has a chance to return in week 7.
Right.
And we have zero scope of the injury on Evan Ingram other than he's got... you know, a real chance to miss on Thursday night. So perhaps...
And look, could you see... I mean, like, if you're truly desperate, could you see Rhett Ellison get some? Yeah, but I would rather... So, I would rather try the Gerald Everett's. We have some tight ends coming
up.
What
I was going to say is that, like, it's Thursday night football. It's supposed to be pouring rain on Thursday night against the best defense in the NFL. Yeah. Fade your Giants this week. Yeah. But I agree with you. Darius Slayton, who did make the waiver wire call, will be a name that I would pick up for the prospect of Sterling Shepard missing some time and him becoming the number two wide receiver in an offense that gets Arizona, then Detroit, then Dallas. At least for the Arizona game, you feel pretty good about that.
And while Detroit and Dallas are better than average defenses, they're not defenses that you feel like, oh, don't start anyone. By the way, last 3 weeks, Sterling Shepard's had a 28% target share. Yeah, so there's and obviously Golden Tate's now coming back. But listen, if we don't know how serious this Ingram injury is, but like if Ingram's out for a while as well, like Daniel, you could argue that Daniel Jones has more of a connection with Darius Slayton than he does with Golden Tate at the moment.
It's only one game, but yeah, I think that's right. You could argue it. Sure.
Yeah, you could make the argument.
David Johnson is now ailing because of a back issue. Again, we don't know a whole lot about it right now, Matthew. But along those lines, I did see that their official website said something along the lines of like, you know, don't dismiss this. Don't just like overlook the fact that David Johnson is banged up right now. So, I should have added this player. Maybe Keith can add him for me to the waiver wire column as we are sitting here on the podcast. Chase Edmonds
will
be the next man up. Chase Edmonds, formerly of Fordham fame, fourth round pick, I believe, in 2018. He would seemingly be the guy that handles the primary duties if David Johnson misses time.
So he's been very impressive in the limited time that he's gotten so far this year.
19 well
for
Sunday,
127.
Yeah.
He's averaging over 6.8. I think he's averaging 6.7 yards per carry so far this season.
Yeah.
Scored against the Bengals on Sunday, has looked good. And the starting running back in this particular offense is, you know, somebody that's inherits a really nice role. David Johnson so far this season, sixth among running backs in terms of catches. He's fourth in targets.
Yep.
And so Edmonds is also a nice pass catcher as well. I think Edmonds should be picked up just on the prospect of the fact that he might be the starting. We just don't know.
We don't know. Yep.
We don't know as of we saying, like, could this back injury, could he play on Sunday? Could it be a 1 week thing? We just don't know. But I think what Edmonds does here's what I would say. And we talked about this on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus as well. That's coming out a little bit later today. I'm a company man. There you go, Jackson. Nice job.
Going in strong.
There you go. Well done. Do we need Daniel back? I don't know.
He's a little bit late identifying pressure, like Baker Mayfield right there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, we need some sort of animal nickname for Jackson, too, by the way. Secret. We have Secret Squirrel.
It would be like the opposite of Secret, not Secret.
Right.
What's the opposite of Squirrel?
Obvious Otter.
Obvious Otter. I kind of like that. Yeah.
I'm definitely very out in the open. You know?
Yes. There you go. There you go.
Jackson the Obvious Otter. I like it.
Jackson the Obvious Otter. Yeah. There you go.
Double O.
Double O. All right. So, 00J instead of 007, 00J.
Yeah.
See, Jackson.
I like that too.
What we did there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Oh, thanks. All right. So, yes, like Chase Edmonds should be the number one waiver priority if you have David Johnson and you don't already have him on your roster. I think he's also somebody, especially given how ugly running back is this week, and we'll get to that in a second. I see somebody else to consider, but I just think in general, like, if you don't really have a huge running back need this week, right? You know, like you're like, you don't have any injuries or buys or anything like that in a massive way. If you can, I would spend the week grabbing my handcuff. I am pro handcuff. I know there's a lot of people that are not. I am, but especially you've seen, like, think about, like, you lost Saquon Barkley and then you had to scramble to get Wayne Gallman. This week, if you have David Johnson, you're going to have to scramble to get Chase Edmonds. You've got a better shot because it's not official that Johnson's going to miss the game. But, like, there's a couple guys that we talked about, right? So if I had Leonard Fournette, it's Reichwell Armstead.
Yes.
That's right. Reichwell Armstead that I would want. If I had, I'm trying to think of some other.
Well, Alexander Mattison for the Vikings. Tony Pollard for the Cowboys. Some of the more notable ones. Let me just chime in here
Latavius
and say.
Latavius Murray, who's been dropped a lot. Like,
yeah,
if I had Alvin
I'd say
Kamara.
A reasonable one, right? So two things. I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth because the pro handcuff argument is that there are players you've seen some level of a sample size with, right? So.
Sure.
If you have Dalvin Cook or Zeke Elliott, you should have both of those players' backups. There are other players where we have seen that, like, if they were not playing, it would be a running back by committee behind them, so it's not as obvious that you need to go and grab that player. The other part is that we're about to get into the thick of bye weeks. For each of the next 7 weeks, I believe it is, we have at least four teams on a bye. 1 week we have six teams on a bye, another week we have two teams on a bye. So It's a little bit more difficult to add a handcuff just because of the premium on roster spots, all those buys. That being said, I understand your line of thinking. There, we'll talk about this in a second on the waiver wire column. It's a bad week for waiver ads, so not a bad week to, like, if you have a, if you're cushy with your roster right now and you can afford to use a spot on somebody, go ahead and add that handcuff running back.
Right, but I think there are probably out there, and like Darrell Williams, if I had either of the Kansas City running backs, I would want him. But I think there are, I guess for me, it would be a scenario where you know that if you, if your starter was injured or missed the game for whatever reason,
you think
missed a team photo or whatever,
right?
Yeah. For whatever reason, your player misses the game, that this particular player would A, immediately get the majority of work, and B, be productive in that offense. So like Reggie Bonifant, right? Who, you know, was impressive last week. And I know that he's been the guy, I think he's the guy on their roster that is most similar to Christian McCaffrey. I think if McCaffrey were to miss a game, he would be the guy.
Right. Yeah. I don't like to think about that possibility.
I understand. No one does. But Malcolm Brown for Todd Gurley, right? I mean,
we get it. So the point is, this is a good week to consider adding your handcuff running back if you have the right player as the lead back already on your roster.
And as you go through the season in terms of the bye weeks, I think you have to play a little like
Always
be thinking ahead. Do you need two defenses as well? And one thing that I'll do sometimes is that like if your main running back is on a bye week, that's the week where you can usually waive your handcuff and probably get him back the next week because no one's getting injured in the bye week, and chances are
no one's picking up the handcuff.
Right, after a, yeah. So
all right, let's move
there's
forward
a little
here.
Tricks he can play.
Let's move forward here with one more piece of news from Mort last night that Zay Jones had been traded from the Bills to the Raiders. The writing was perhaps on the wall when Jones limited to just one snap in Buffalo on Sunday. Instead, it was Duke. I was going to say Duke Johnson. But it's not Duke Johnson. It's Duke Williams who played prominent role for the Bills in that win over the Titans on Sunday. Zay Jones goes to Oakland, Matthew. Is there a potential role here for Zay? Former second-round pick?
There certainly is. I mean, okay. So Tyrell Williams is banged up. Like,
yeah.
Look,
that one's got me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, right? And so, and by the way, they don't have a, like, they've got Hunter Renfrow and
Trevor Davis.
Trevor Davis, who they got from the Packers. Who, by the way, Trevor Davis is sort of interesting to me in a very deep league sort of way.
Yeah,
like tons of speed. They clearly like him. They've tried different ways to get him the ball.
Yep.
But Zay Jones, who I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I want to say that Zay Jones, at the time that he came out of college, had the most receptions in FBS history.
I believe he set the single season FBS catch record during his final year at East Carolina.
That's what it was. I knew there was something like that. So I apologize there. But Zay Jones, who was a second round pick for the Bills and came out with a decent amount of fanfare, hasn't really found his way in Buffalo. He's had some moments.
Yeah.
He's actually had some moments, and there's been some, you know, off the field weird stuff too. But, like, I think a fresh start in Oakland, which is, listen, after Antonio Brown, everyone's normal in Oakland. Like, right. I mean, they're just like, that's nothing.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Whatever. Yes, I do think there's something sort of interesting here with Zay Jones in an offense that's going to throw more than you think. Give him some time to pick up, but certainly in a deeper league, he's an interesting add, as is Duke Williams, who is one of the guys that made Zay Jones expendable for Buffalo. So Duke Williams, 6'2", 216, also out of Auburn, played in the CFL for a little bit.
It's a great story, yeah.
I mean, it's a great
really
story
great
for
story.
Him.
Yep.
But 4 for 29 in the touchdown last week. He ran a route on 75% of dropbacks for Josh Allen last week.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, and I just know that Buffalo likes him, right? And so, I just think, listen, I mean,
John Brown and Cole Beasley clearly ahead of him. Third passing option in a Bills offense. Not super exciting to me, but I think it's an interesting name to keep an eye on because he's talented and he has come a long way and has certainly earned everything that's been given to him by the Bills.
This is, again, Duke Williams is more of a name for, like, our 16-team league.
Sure.
Like, Duke Williams should be picked up in the War Room League this week. We'll see if he actually is.
My point is,
in a 10-team league, 12-team league, he's just a name you should keep an eye on.
We're going to talk about the Browns and the 49ers in a second. But first, a word from ZipRecruiter via our friend, Matthew Berry.
Hiring can be a slow process.
Is that right?
Right. Like, you know who should have ZipRecruiter?
Who's slow?
The Washington Redskins.
Hey-o!
I will pay for it. Dan Snyder, if you're listening, I will pay to put the ad on ZipRecruiter.
Okay.
I will pay to put the ad for a new general manager and Vice President of Football Operations on ZipRecruiter. We'll see if we can find
there
somebody for Andy the Redskins. But listen, because hiring can be a slow process.
Yeah, I hear that.
Like, for example, Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed
that.
To hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. How do you find a director of coffee?
I am without ideas.
I have applied for many director of soda positions, but I am not a coffee guy. So Dylan was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you.
Mm-hmm.
Technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. But that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. It's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
A recap. Well done right there by the Otter. Monday Night Football recap begins. It's okay.
Daniel threw, like, I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm just going to show you what Daniel put in the, put in the ad read right there. Cause he was, I mean, just like, so Daniel put something naughty in the ad read,
The
copy of it, thinking that I would like Ron Burgundy it and not read it. And he thinks that I would read it. And so anyway, nice try, Daniel.
Time now.
But I have more respect for our good friends at ZipRecruiter.
Time now to recap Monday Night Football. The 49ers absolutely waxed the Browns 31-3, a forgettable night for Cleveland last night.
Not cool, Keith. Your thoughts? I did a 20-minute rant to start the show. I feel like it's only fair. Your thoughts on last night's performance by your Cleveland Browns?
I'll tell you what. I'll put it this way. There was one of my favorite retorts by a coach in NFL history is back in the 70s from John McKay, the Bucs coach, and they asked about, how do you feel about your team's execution? He says, I'm all for it.
Yes. I'm in favor of it.
Man,
yes.
That is good right there.
One of the all-time great quotes.
That is great.
Back when the Buccaneers were like 0-16, right?
Is that Rich's father, John McKay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Baker Mayfield last night, 8 for 22, 100 yards, 2 interceptions, and a fumble loss, -2 fantasy points. Matthew, a couple weeks ago, we said maybe he's back, maybe. But
Field and I were in a dynasty league, all of us, and Field and I played each other in the dynasty league, and it was a little bit of a pillow fight. You had a little bit of a lead going into last night. You had Odell Beckham Jr. I had Baker Mayfield. And you won handily.
Yeah,
thanks to my -2 from
my
Beckham.
My team looked like it was going to be, for a while it was close, and then I pulled away.
Yes, you did.
Baker Mayfield had a terrible, terrible night. -2 fantasy points. Matthew, I don't want to continue to have the same conversation that we've had about 4 times already about Baker Mayfield. Just, it's a fact. This is not a debate anymore. You can't trust Baker Mayfield with confidence. There are going to be weeks where he's fine. Fact. But there are also going to be weeks last night where he completely implodes. We are past the point of debating. Is he a set it and forget it starter? Not even close.
He's not rosterable.
Right.
Like, as we sit here on Waiver Tuesday, like, if he's still on your roster, you need to drop him. Here's his upcoming schedule. So he's home to Seattle next week. Maybe it's okay. Like, I mean, that offense has been good. There could be some junk time there. Then he has a bye in week 7.
Can't play him then.
No. At New England week 8.
Bye-bye.
He ain't doing that. At Denver in week 9. Don't love that.
Don't love it. I mean, I don't.
No, yeah. Nothing that you've seen so far this season would give you confidence starting him at Denver in week 9. Week 10, he's home to Buffalo. No thanks there. Week 11, home to Pittsburgh. Okay, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Week 12, they get Miami at home. There you go. That's the first week where you feel really good about starting Baker Mayfield is week 12 at home against Miami. Then you think about the rest of your schedule. By the way, the rest of your schedule.
We've been talking about it. We've said this many times.
I have 2 Baker Mayfield stats that I have to get out.
Okay. Have at it.
Okay. So here's the entire list of players in the last decade that have thrown an interception without throwing multiple touchdown passes in each of their team's first 5 starts.
Okay.
So Baker Mayfield in 2019, Geno Smith in 2014, that's the list.
Nice. Well done.
That's Thirsty Kyle. That's so, Thirsty Kyle. Nice job there. Thirsty Kyle found another one, too. Patrick Mahomes, Gardner Minshew, Kyler Murray, we talked about this yesterday. They're the list of quarterbacks that have at least 16 fantasy points in every game this season. Here's a list of quarterbacks with at least 20 pass attempts in all 5 weeks that have yet to record a 16-point fantasy game this year. Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr. That's the list. That's the entire list. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Baker Mayfield in the same sense that we're talking about Derek Carr and Geno Smith in 2014.
Yeah, it's been terrible, Matthew. We've talked about this many times over. We don't need to continue to have the same conversation.
And I love Baker Mayfield. He's my dynasty league quarterback.
Right.
Like, that seems like a poor pick at the moment.
Well, you know.
I think he's going to be fine. Ultimately, I think he will be fine for his NFL career. For his NFL career. I think he is a talented quarterback. I think he's been miscoached. And, I think the jury is still out on Freddie Kitchens here. But, because they look completely unprepared.
The trickle-down effect for Baker's poor play is that it impacts his pass catchers. I'm actually fine with what Jarvis Landry did last night. 4 for 75 on 6 targets is fine. It's not amazing, but we have reset our expectations. It's fine, Matthew.
Yeah.
But Odell Beckham Jr. is the player that has drawn legitimate concern from. You and I are having a conversation quickly before the show. Someone asked you, I believe.
Someone tweeted at me, am I turning down Beckham for Godwin? And I'm like, absolutely not. So I would much rather have Godwin than OBJ.
Yeah, much rather is a little bit stronger, but yes, I would rather have Chris Godwin than OBJ. We're 5 weeks into the season. It's not even close to a debate. But that is how this has impacted Odell Beckham Jr. before the season. You know, we talked about the possibility of Odell being a... No. Don't do this thing you do where you say, bad call by me. You simply said in your bold predictions piece... there was at least a possibility.
It was within the realm of possibilities.
Right. And you know what, Matthew? That's why it goes into the bold predictions piece,
right?
Because it's not something you are forecasting yourself. You are saying maybe, possibly, hypothetically. You know what else could happen for the rest? Eli Manning could be the number one quarterback for us.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, it's within the realm of possibilities. It's
right?
Not likely.
But
I was very high. I will say this. I was very high on
Matthew,
Baker Mayfield.
Everybody was. Yes. Everybody was high on Baker Mayfield. This is not a you screwed things up.
No,
I was high on him. Jackson had him on his ranks. I don't even know if they exist. Like, That's not the point of the analysis.
Yeah.
The analysis.
ObviousOtter.com.
Right. ObviousOtter.com had the most comprehensive ranked tool.
Yeah.
And really preseason packet you'll ever see.
Yeah. 100%.
Anyways, I think the question is just this, Matthew, is that we're now far enough into the season where we talked about someone like Stephon Diggs recently, where it's like, relegate him to the bench. If you are debating between him and somebody else in your flex consideration, pick somebody else in a lot of weeks. But with Odell,
you have to keep starting.
Right. Just keep riding it out. I know that sounds like ridiculously obvious, but, you know, that's how fantasy football is. It's an emotional game.
And I'm not, quote, selling low on Odell Beckham Jr.
Never.
Because the potential of what Odell Beckham Jr. could be that we've seen him do with bad quarterback play.
Sure.
By the way, that we've seen him produce with bad quarterback play is, you know, that upside is much greater than whatever you'll get in return for a trade right now. So unfortunately, as tough as it is, and listen, I have a lot of Odell Beckham Jr. this year. Like, you just have to sort of ride it out. It is what it is. If there's one thing to hang your hat on, there's not much, but it's that, look, he's gotten 13 targets the last 2 weeks. Like, they let him throw a pass. They let him, they put him on a reverse. Like, they found different ways to try to get him the ball and get him going. So, I mean, like, there's opportunity, and like, if he continues to get, you know, 7 targets a game, I think ultimately his talent's going to win out. We both agree he remains one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL.
So going into previous seasons, when you had Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman both healthy in Atlanta, they were perhaps the number one backfield where you said, like, both of these players can be used in fantasy every single week. In terms of backfields that come to mind along those lines this year, we have, like, consistently, we have, let's see, Sony Michel and James White are often two Patriots running backs that crack the top 25. We may have another one right now. Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman may be the backfield that has a chance to be the most usable, with that includes both of them, week to week. Coleman returned last night. He ran well, 16 for 97 plus a touchdown. And then Matt Breida was ridiculous, including an 83-yard touchdown last night on the very first play from scrimmage for the 49ers. He was clocked or timed or recorded at the fastest speed of any ball carrier this season, according to Next Gen Stats, 22.3 miles per hour. He can fly. They run the crap out of the football. That is what's going to be their MO on offense. Big, hulking offensive line. That team is legit when it comes to running the football. Both of these guys can be started week to week now, it feels like.
100%. Since the beginning of last year, Matt Breida's played in 18 games. He's averaging 5.63 yards per carry in that time. Yeah, look, and the fact of the matter is that, look, week five, Matt Breida played 25 snaps. Tevin Coleman played 24. Like, it's a true running back by committee, but given how run-heavy this offense is and how run-successful this offense is. I mean, they're so successful running the ball. I mean, Matt Breida was on my love list coming into the week, and this was why. We didn't know what we'd get out of Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman looked like Tevin Coleman.
He looked pretty solid last night.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
16 for 97 and a touchdown, over 15 fantasy points for them. The 49ers are running the ball at 54% of the time, 54.5% of the time. That's the most run-heavy offense in the NFL since the 2009 Jets.
Very impressive.
Who ran at 56.7% of the time. This is Tevin Coleman's eighth career game with 16 or more carries. Now, listen, game flow helped. They were up big, and they were up big early. But this Kyle Shanahan has been very clear about what he wants to do with this offense. He wants to run the ball, set up some play action for George Kittle and the rest of the pass catchers. But ultimately, it's going to be Tevin Coleman. It's going to be Matt Breida. And as long as both guys are healthy, which has been an issue for both guys in their career, as long as both guys are healthy, those are the two guys you're starting, and they're both, especially given the state of the running back position, they're both very viable RB2s going forward.
You just mentioned George Kittle in this week's TD Ameritrade.
Before we get there, I just want to give a quick shout-out. Can I give a quick shout-out here? I just want to give a quick shout-out, sure, to my friends at Numberball. So, like, listen, I'm in business with them. Like, they're part of RotoPass Daily. But they were very much, in terms of, for people that were playing DFS last night and one game slate, they were like, start Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. They were like, you know, like a lot of people, they're like, we think everyone's going to be on Nick Chubb, start Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. And so obviously that worked out if you played DFS last night, and you follow those two. So just anyway, just a shout out to my friends over there. Happy to have them as part of rotopassdaily.com.
Good stuff there. George Kittle is our this week's fantasy trends, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Not much to overthink here with Kittle. He had 6 for 70 with a touchdown. He also had 18 rushing yards. That was cool to see. So nearly 21 fantasy points for George Kittle. Believe last night was his first touchdown of the season. You cannot hold him down for too long. He has, of course, had touchdowns overcalled earlier on in the year. He's had over 50 receiving yards in every game this season. I believe that makes him the only tight end to do so after, I think, or did Kelsey get it on Sunday night? Kelsey may have gotten it. So maybe Travis Kelsey and George Kittle. But it's a short list. 6 catches in 3 of his 4 games. George Kittle is the man, one of my favorite players in the NFL. The dude after the game, like, you just gotta, what is it about tight ends that make them fun and affable?
I don't know.
But isn't it true?
I'm not a tight end.
You're not a tight end?
I'm also not fun or affable.
Okay.
So I have no insight into that particular answer. But it does seem like that. It does seem like, you know, like
Gronk and Kelsey and Kittle, like, there's some dynamic players.
Right. Ertz is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, sure, Ertz has a fun personality. So, you know, and, Jordan Reed. Poor Jordan Reed.
I know. We're going to be right back.
He's going to be super fun as soon as he gets to escape the Redskins.
We're going to be back in a minute.
Yes, sir.
But first, and at that point, we're going to talk about the waiver wire column. But a quick break, and I believe a video to roll from our good friends over at the Fantasy Show.
Probably.
Sweet. The Fantasy Show video coming up right now.
He's field day.
As dangerous as this might sound, I am going to hand over hosting duties to my friend, Matthew Berry.
Welcome to the Matthew Berry Show, starring me, Matthew Berry.
It's me,
featuring
Matthew
me,
Berry.
Matthew Berry. Hey, what's going on? It's me, and I welcome in my guest, not Matthew Berry. All right, here we go.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
That's pretty
appreciate
good. You've
that.
Been practicing that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. All right, so hey, listen, Field Yates, you are the author of Free Agent Finds,
yes,
available now on ESPN.com and, of course, the ESPN Fantasy app. I'm a company man. Jackson.
Let me start by saying something.
Yes, sir.
I think it's the worst week. I said this on the show yesterday. I think it's the worst week for waiver wire ads I can ever recall remembering. Now, we got a little bit of life breathed into us with some late additions. I think that Chase Edmonds could potentially be a valuable pickup. Darius Slayton could potentially be a valuable pickup if the Sterling Shepard injury is, in fact, multi-week. But it's bad. So it's really bad. So I'm not going to be trite with these, but just like if you're not getting the typical enthusiasm, it's for a reason.
Right. And so, and the other point is that, you know, different players play in different kinds of leagues in terms of like, so some leagues, it waivers resets. Like ESPN Standard, I believe it resets,
right. It resets.
Every week, standings reverse order. But there are some leagues in which it is like you have your number one waiver pick and you have it until you use it.
And if once you use it, bye-bye.
Right, exactly. And so we're saying like, listen, if I had David Johnson, I would use it on Chase Edmonds. But if not, then maybe this is not the week where you're using your number one waiver pick. Or if you're in a, if you do a free agent, fab budget, if you do a free agent bidding process, blind bidding process, maybe go conservative this week. Having said that, there are some players out there, including if you're sitting there with Aaron Rodgers or Baker Mayfield or other disappointing players at quarterback, there's somebody available. That's not only good to play, it's fun to play.
That's right. Gardner Minshew, Minshew Mania. We discussed him on the show for quite a bit of length yesterday, but his upcoming schedules, New Orleans, at Cincinnati, the Jets, and then Houston. That game is in London. The consistency Matthew alluded to earlier on in the show. He's got at least 16 points in every game this season, including the one that he did not even start in week one. He, Kyler Murray, and Patrick Mahomes are the only three quarterbacks they can say that. We'll see if Nick Foles returns in Week 11, but up until that point, there's some potential to start Gardner Minshew.
Oh, Nick Foles will return in Week 11 to hold the clipboard
for
Gardner Minshew. We have a bet. You and I have a bet.
We'll see.
So, and just by the way, we should start off, I've done a poor job hosting here, Field Yates, already, because we should start off by saying, in case you haven't really looked at the Week 6 schedule yet, the Bills, the Bears, the Colts and the Raiders are all on a bye this week. So if you're looking to replace Josh Allen or Jacoby Brissett, not. So
in most leagues, I think one of those two might be starting. Not likely to have two of those players starting unless it's a 16 team.
I would agree, but I don't feel great about Carson Wentz against Minnesota this week. I don't feel great about Aaron Rodgers. You certainly don't feel good about Baker Mayfield. So some of the guys that you might have drafted as starters, you know, as standalone starters, you may be looking elsewhere. So that would be now. I feel like every single year, this guy is on the waiver wire. We always talk about him.
Yes.
We really should, but there's been somebody taking flight in Atlanta.
Well done there. Matthew, Mohamed Sanu, once again, I really do believe he has been as mentioned as any other player during my 4 years of writing this waiver wire column because he's always good enough to make the radar, be on the radar for Adam, but never so dominant that people were just flocking to the waiver wire to grab him. Mohamed Sanu, though, in 4 out of 5 games this season, has at least 10 fantasy points in PPR scoring.
Yep.
He leads Atlanta wide receivers in catches this year with 29. It puts him on pace for over 90 catches this season. He has caught 80.6% of his targets, so you know he is reliable. Oh, by the way, Matt Ryan is the only quarterback with over 300 passing yards in every game. Their defense is abominable. They have the second worst scoring defense in the NFL. I believe only the Dolphins. They're even better on defense than your woeful, pathetic Redskins.
Wow.
Yes.
That is saying something.
Which means they're
going
to throw it a ton. Mohamed Sanu would be a waiver wire ad of note.
Yeah, look, there's a nice floor with Sanu. He's one of only 12 wide receivers in the NFL with at least 4 catches every single week so far this season, all 5 weeks here. And then you think about their upcoming schedule, Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks, like 3 good defenses you can throw against there. Let's state the wide receiver position, and there's a rookie in Pittsburgh you like.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson, we've talked about him. We have a board bet surrounding him and James Washington, third-round pick this year out of Toledo, available in nearly 80% of leagues. He's the only player with 6 or more targets in all 3 games that Ben Roethlisberger has missed due to that injury. He's got a team-high 20 targets in those games and 2 touchdowns in those 3 games. So, again, serious question marks about the passing game. Even the Devlin Hodges is likely starter this week, facing a talented, although inconsistent, Chargers defense on Sunday, then the bye. But Miami and Indianapolis after that, a couple of defenses. Certainly Miami's that you feel really good about. So Deontay Johnson, a nice add-in stash on your roster.
Let's stay again at the wide receiver position where there does
seem
to be some
ugly
depth.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right, but
gets ugly,
listen,
right?
Let's go to Cincinnati where this guy scored a touchdown last week.
He did. Auden Tate scored a touchdown. He played 100% of the snaps. He had 9 targets. He's got 6 or more targets in 3 straight games. Yes, he has dropped the pass in all 3 of those games. Let's see if he can tighten that up. A big physical player, and AJ Green's already been ruled out for week 6. So, this does not seem to be a role that's going to fade anytime soon here for Auden Tate. A player that, Cincinnati loves to draft and develop, and he could perhaps be their next project there on the development side.
Bengals 3rd in the NFL in pass percentage. They're so bad. They throw in a lot.
Yeah.
They're throwing a lot, and it's a narrow target tree. there in Cincinnati. All right, if I need a tight end, Field, who's out there?
Yeah, finally, Chris Herndon has a chance to return. He missed four games because of a suspension, and because the Jets did an early bye, he missed week five, which was the fourth team game for New York. Sam Darnold has not yet been cleared to play, but it seems like there's at least a chance of playing week six. Not that I expect this defense, I'm sorry, this team to be much better. They're going to be really bad this year. They already are very bad, but tight end position is super weak. We talked about Evan Engram earlier on in the show. He's going to be out, and Herndon played well last year. He caught 71.1% of passes thrown to him from Sam Darnold last year, compared to 59.9% by all other Jets when receiving targets from Sam Darnold. A talented guy. Tight ends are hard to find. Chris Herndon finally back.
Right. I 100% agree with the call there. By the way, another tight end that normally for free agent finds, the cutoff is 50%. They have to be available in more than 50% of ESPN leagues.
Right.
And I think we were a little surprised this morning to discover someone who's available in 52% of ESPN leagues.
This is one of those where it's not even on my radar to think if this to look and see if he's available in more than 50% of leagues because he's so good. Hunter Henry, though, because he's been hurt, has been dropped, to your point. He's now available in just about 52% of leagues. We don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. Maybe he doesn't.
But Anthony Lynn opened the door that he could potentially. And
right.
So even and if he doesn't play Sunday, it means he's close.
Right, he is getting close. And wouldn't you rather have Hunter Henry than probably eight or nine tight ends in the NFL
yes.
this year? Maybe even less than that. Like, there's probably six tight ends that you definitely prefer over Hunter Henry. Otherwise, if he's healthy, you want him in your lineup. Just a little bit of a – we just talked about how it's hard to roster, you know, a handcuff running back. It's also hard to roster a backup tight end or a second tight end, but he would be your starter. So, like, it's one thing if you have Travis Kelce, like, maybe not. But if you're sitting there with O.J. Howard, you're still trying to figure that one out. Even Greg Olsen, who's been quiet of late. Like, there are a lot of tight ends that have not produced nearly consistently enough to be in your lineup every single week.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. So he's probably not available in most leagues, but it's worth, you never know.
You never know, so take a look.
And for those that are streaming defenses, Field, give me a couple for this week.
My favorite ads of the week are literally two defenses. The Ravens, who play the Bengals, the
sure.
Ravens, this is not the same Ravens defense.
Right.
And they've had back-to-back weeks in weeks 3 and 4 of negative scoring, but they got back on track a little bit last week, and it was against Mason Rudolph and then Devlin Hodges for the Steelers, but they still have some talent, right? I mean, they've got one good edge rusher, Matt Judon. They've got a talented secondary. They own the 8th best touchdown to interception ratio this season. And the Bengals, as you can tell, have done little to inspire fear to opposing defenses.
Yes.
My favorite one, though, the Dallas Cowboys.
Of
available
course.
In over 60% of leagues going up against the Jets. The Eagles last week, first team to ever have 10 or more sacks and 2 or more defensive touchdowns in a game in the history of the NFL. Now it's the Jets facing the Cowboys. The Cowboys, who have an awesome pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence, right. Talented secondary, great linebacking play. Robert Quinn's actually been pretty good for them as well coming off the edge. You have to like what's going on right now with that matchup against the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect the Jets to be better if Sam Darnold returns and it's not Luke
Falk
on the
center. Marginally better, right?
Yeah, but I mean, 100%. The Cowboys should be a popular play this week as well. Field, why don't you tell me a little bit about SeatGeek?
I would love to do that, Matthew. You know why? Because do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
All the time.
It happens all the time.
All the time.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience.
Yeah.
With millions of live events and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves it a better way.
You know where there are a ton of Redskins tickets available?
SeatGeek?
SeatGeek. Seriously. Yes. Like, pick a seat. Anyone you want.
They're all
anyone,
yours.
Anyone
also,
you want in the stadium available on SeatGeek, I'm
also
sure.
Also where I found tickets to The Lion King.
Hey, you
can search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek has decided to stand out from the crowd. They built the fastest way to find tickets, so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals, red dots are overpriced, and every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. That's why I went there. Lion King tickets. Less than 2 weeks away. I cannot wait for that one. My favorite show. SeatGeek certainly helped make that one happen. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. Time now for some social questions from Keith. What do you got for us, Keith?
And by the way, before Keith launches off, I'm going to just, if I may.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, how do you get these social questions? Hey, I'd like to submit social questions to the 06010 to the Fantasy Focus. Well, here's what you do. First off, you got to follow us on the Twitter, right?
Okay,
at Fantasy Focus. You can also submit them on our YouTube channel. We broadcast this live on ESPN's YouTube channel, the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page, and, of course, in the ESPN app. So a lot of places where we broadcast this live every single day. And so we pull the questions from all those places. I can't imagine you can – you probably can't submit questions on the app, but I would assume you can – there's comments on YouTube, comments on the Facebook page, and obviously on Twitter. Is that correct, Not Cool Keith?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you, my friend. What do we have?
Yeah, the first one comes from Smoo, and he wants to know, who are some guys rostered in more than 50% of leagues that you'd be comfortable dumping?
Interesting
Baker Mayfield.
Question. Baker Mayfield certainly would be one. We talked on the – actually, on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, we had this conversation a little bit. Guys like Tariq Cohen were discussed, plenty of tight ends like O.J. Howard. Interesting name, though, that was brought up, Matthew, before the show, with Doug Peterson saying that, like, it's just kind of the way it's been with Jordan Howard as our lead back and maybe suggesting it could stay that way. Is Miles Sanders droppable for you, or is that a no-fly zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think Miles Sanders potentially could be. I don't think he's a must drop, but you don't feel great about what you've seen, by the way, in terms of Miles Sanders. Like, he you know, Jordan Howard has been the better running back
by
a significant margin. And so Miles Sanders is a hope he does something flex. Like, he's a cross your fingers flex. And so I don't know where you feel, and you hear this news from Peterson, and Peterson's right. Peterson's just telling us what we've seen with our eyes, which is that Jordan Howard's been the better running back for that team.
He definitely has been. I would not drop I would not drop Miles Sanders. I feel like the Eagles seasons often feel like a series of mini seasons, and it wouldn't surprise me if by week 13 we've already had an extended stretch of Jordan Howard as the go-to guy, plus an extended stretch of Miles Sanders as the go-to guy. It just seems to always go that way, so I would be holding on Miles Sanders. Keith, what else do you have?
But one thing I will say is that Jordan Howard, I don't think Jordan Howard is 100% rostered at the moment.
I'm going to say he's at like 87%.
Is he finally?
It was pretty substantial when I last checked.
I think it speaks to just how bad running back is. A lot of those guys happen to be rostered in a lot more leagues than maybe they should. But probably.
But anyway, I guess my point is I would agree with Fields' assessment in the sense that, like, I'm not actively dropping him. But if you did, like, I wouldn't be like, whoa, that was a dumb mistake. Like, I get in a 10-team league, in a standard 10-team league, like, I don't know, like, you don't feel great about him against Minnesota this week.
I agree.
Right? I mean, like, you're not starting him this week, and so...
Yeah, I get it.
You know, so...
Scott wants to know, is Mike Evans a buy low again?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Mike Evans, I believe, is third in the NFL in end zone targets right now with 6 of them. Mike Evans is way too talented. He's got at least 1,000 yards in every season of his career. I would be trying to buy low on Mike Evans right now. I'm there.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, he had a bad game against the Saints and Marshawn Lattimore. And throughout his career, when they've had Marshawn Lattimore, the Mike Evans games against the Saints in which Marshawn Lattimore has played have not gone well. For whatever reason, they seem to have his number. But this is still an offense that is going to be throwing. This is still an offense that, you know, I think will be, you know, fairly fantasy friendly, and he's really talented. Right. He's really talented. So yes, I believe it was brutal. A zero. I get it. He put up a goose egg for me in a couple leagues, but no, I would be trying to acquire Mike Evans, not get rid of him.
Casey wants you guys to play a name game with DJ Chark rest of the season.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a name game drop? If not, Jackson, I get it. It's been a while since we've done one. If you don't have one available, I can just pretend like we're having a name game drop right now. Name game. Woohoo. Name game. Anyways.
That's the lamest one I've ever
heard. Let's play a
name
game. Well, we don't have one.
I understand, but, like, you could have put a little effort into it.
I'm just saying.
It's just like, Go ahead. You got something? What do you got,
Jackson?
You know
when you grow up and you have a name?
Sure.
Field is playing with his own spicy tomato.
I just don't want to touch it.
Why do you hate Devontae Freeman?
Why do you hate Aaron Rodgers?
I don't want to leave before we talk about Golden Tate.
So many names to choose from.
Field brought up boner.
But when I squeeze it, nothing happens.
And then Mike Clay brought up boner.
Now a groin issue. We don't know where that is.
You don't know where the groin is?
What's with Pedgin?
I'm just warning you.
Why can't you just tap it?
Because Carson Palmer sucks.
I'm an attractive human.
Oh, you are. You are. You're very attractive.
This is getting creepy all of a sudden.
Put your shirt on and tell me some fantasy advice.
Matthew Berry, you're a son of a
It's a family show.
That is a very solid.
That's a great one.
That's a great one.
We don't know
assuming,
who.
I'm assuming Lee. She
Lee
does
Martin,
them all.
Probably.
Yes, she's really good.
We need more, Lee. We need more.
All right. So let's do a quick name game. We have a couple minutes left here on the air. What do you got? Name game for DJ Shark. You ready for this, Matthew?
Yes, sir.
I will start audacious. Odell Beckham Jr. or DJ Shark?
Chark.
Animals. Odell Beckham
Still
Jr.
Beckham for me.
Okay. All right. Mike
you
Evans
agree?
Or DJ Shark? Yes, I agree.
Evans.
Adam Thielen or DJ Shark?
Still Evans. Still Thielen for me, but we're getting closer.
We're getting close. Robert Woods or DJ Shark?
Still banking on Woods. I think I still want Woods. Okay. Are you disagreeing with any of these yet?
No, but I would think about
yeah.
Chark.
We're in the
Woods.
Right range. And so we're
Brandon
in
Brandon Cooks or DJ Chark?
And Brandon Cooks, I think did I see something that Brandon Cooks is in the concussion protocol,
he is,
by the
yeah.
way? Yeah.
Or he was after the game.
He was after the game. So
on Thursday. So we'll get
that's
more
something
information
we'll
today. Yeah.
we'll track.
Or tomorrow.
Mine will be in tomorrow. Still prefer Jared Goff and the Rams offense to Gardner Minshew
Give me
and
Chark.
The Jags.
Give me Chark there.
Chark over Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
I like the call. All right.
DJ Chark or Julian Edelman? Oh.
Edelman.
I think Edelman as well. Last one here. How about this? DJ Chark or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Chark.
Yeah, me too. We're going to be so wrong on one or two
of
those.
100%.
It's going to be amazing.
100%.
Yeah. He's like a top 18
but
player.
But like he's a top 20 player. Like just the fact that we're thinking about him versus Edelman, him versus Cooks or Woods, him versus Thielen,
it's
sort
amazing.
Of should tell you the range. Like I think he's a top 20 player going forward. Like,
yeah.
like if you go down to the 20 through 30 range, right? I'm just trying to think of some other guys like, here you go. I'll play one with you. DJ Chark or Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, DJ Chark.
Yes, I
yeah.
agree.
Yeah.
DJ Chark or Stephon Diggs?
Chark.
DJ Chark, yeah.
Yeah. I think we got the right range.
Yeah.
I think we're in the right range.
Yeah.
Top 20
DJ,
or so
here
play.
You go. Here's one. DJ Chark or Tyler Boyd?
Chark, but I kind of like Boyd.
Yeah, I do yeah. too. But I think that's right
the
in
range.
The right range as well. What else we got?
Yeah, who would have seen that coming, right?
Right.
Ryan wants to know, is now the time to trade for Le'Veon Bell, or is what he's done thus far roughly what we can expect?
Yeah,
roughly what we can expect as long as he stays healthy. I'm still nervous, especially by the way, his usage field is even bigger than it was in Pittsburgh.
It's crazy. He actually leads his team in terms of the percentage of scrimmage yards accounted for. Now, they're a bad offense, so it's like Christian McCaffrey has a slightly lower percentage and way more scrimmage yards, but he is the only part of the Jets offense that right now you trust. We'll yeah. see if Chris Herndon can get things going with Sam Darnold eventually returning.
But to answer this guy's question, I would not be trading for Le'Veon Bell. Again, like I've been anti-Bell entire year because I think he's going to break down. I hate to predict an injury. I'm certainly not rooting for it, but I don't think, again, like if history is any indication, he has played all 16 games once in an NFL career, and that was in 2014. I think he gets hurt at some point. He's already had an MRI so far this year. The usage is off the charts. He's over 30. I think you are playing with house. Every game that he stays healthy is playing with house money. We don't expect this offense to get much better either. It'll get better with Darnold, but how much better? Who knows?
You're nervous.
I would sell high on Le'Veon Bell is what I would do. I would not be trying to acquire him.
C.S. May wants to know, Kyler Murray or Carson Wentz for the rest of the season?
I'm still going to go with Wentz.
It's pretty coin flippy to me. I think what we know with Kyler Murray, if I had to just do a blind guess on the schedule, it's better for Murray than it is for Wentz.
So, yes and no. So, I pulled up the Eagles schedule while they was asking. So, it's not easy. The next stretch here is really tough for the Eagles, okay? And this is one of the reasons why I think going back to our Miles Sanders conversation, where you wouldn't feel that bad about if you needed to drop him. at Minnesota this week, at Dallas,
yep,
at Buffalo.
Yeah, don't like that.
Home to Chicago. So yeah. That next four, three road games in a row, Vikings, Cowboys, Bills, and then home to Chicago, and then a bye in week 10, and then week 11 is the Patriots.
Yeah,
so in Philadelphia. Right? But then week 12 on, it gets really easy. So Seahawks, Dolphins, Giants, my Redskins, Dallas in week 16, Giants in week 17 for those that play in week 17. So once they get past the Patriots in week 12, it gets pretty easy there, but going to be a tough stretch upcoming here. Something to look for if you have Carson Wentz. I don't think I would want Carson Wentz to be my only quarterback. I think he's mostly matchup proof, but a little nervous.
Okay. All right. Really quickly, last question, Keith.
Yeah, last one from a user with the name XFL Redskins. Thought you might enjoy that.
If we could get relegated to the XFL.
You might have a chance.
We got a shot. Now that's what Dan Snyder should work on. Get us to the XFL, baby. Let's go.
His question is, drop Greg Olsen.
We could
Olsen
be like the Washington Deadskins with like, you know, like skull and crossbones.
Like a hybrid of the Raiders and the Redskins logo.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll be the bad boys of the XFL. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
The question is, Greg Olsen, should you drop Greg Olsen for Gerald Everett? But I thought we could obviously frame this discussion more about which players would you drop, which tight ends would you drop for, say, an Everett or a Chris Herndon?
I would prefer Greg Olsen still to Gerald Everett. I want to see a little bit more.
Yeah,
Gerald Everett. But
tight ends not named like Travis Kelce or Evan Ingram or Zach Ertz or George Kittle or I'm forgetting a couple
maybe Austin
others.
Hooper maybe.
Hooper, you can't drop him. Like there's like six tight ends you can drop and everybody else you can drop if you need to. And really that's how bad it is.
Would you drop, I mean maybe we're gonna play like a little name game here, but would you drop Delanie Walker?
No.
For Greg Olsen. I'm sorry.
For Gerald Everett? No.
For Gerald Everett?
No. No, I wouldn't. I think people have a pretty good sense of which tight end you can drop for Gerald Everett. I think it will be like if you're sputtering in the mud right now. Like you got to go lower than that.
Hockenson, yes.
I would keep.
Jimmy Graham? You would keep Jimmy Graham?
Yes.
Over Everett?
Everett, yeah.
I think I'd rather have Everett. Vance McDonald? You're keeping Vance McDonald over Everett? Come on, right? He's back? Yes? No?
Maybe. He's been fine.
I think, he's been hurt and they're on a third string quarterback.
Close.
That one's close. I think I'd rather have Vance McDonald than Everett. Jason Witten. Jason Witten, who, by the way, is, I think, a top 10 fantasy tight end so far this year.
It's close.
I'd rather have Everett. Yeah. Rather have Everett. Will Dissly. You're not dropping Will Dissly, right?
No.
We agree on, we believe in Will Dissly.
Yeah, we're in.
I know I do. You do
we're
too,
in.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, TJ Hockenson.
I'd keep Hockenson over Everett.
See, I think I want Everett there.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Anyway, we differ on this, but neither of us are dropping anyone with a reasonable pulse.
I think you
for
kind
Everett.
Of know. I think that's far more intuitive than I don't think we're giving the listeners enough credit on like be intuitive on your like I get why you're asking about Greg Olsen. He had 0 points last week after one.
He's been brutal for 2 weeks in a row.
Right. But if your tight end has been more consistent than not, then obviously you're keeping him.
Everett's been amazing for two straight weeks.
Right. All right. So we got Wednesday, rankings, health updates, and so much more. Who knows? By then we may have all kinds of information on things we have not yet discussed. Looking forward to that.
Yes. Stefania and Mike will be in for me tomorrow. I am back on Friday. New episode of The Fantasy Show, though, on ESPN Plus, the waiver wire edition of that. Is up, should be up now. If it's not, it will be very soon. So check that out. Follow Field on Twitter, at Field Yates. Follow me and Instagram. You're on Instagram, too. You're on the gram, at Field Yates as well. I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. You can follow me there. You can slide into my DMs on the Fantasy Life app. So free agent finds, check that out on ESPN.com.
That's right. Talk to you guys Wednesday.
Peace out.
Says he loves college hoops and talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you're looking to start a bowling league, he already has a team.